to Mr. Griffith. Greetings. Aloha. Uamana. Keo kahaina. Uno pono. O Hawaii. It says Hawaii is a blessed and sacred country. Well, we've all gotten back from the feast. I'm sure we're getting back into the groove. I want to make it last as long as possible, so I wore a Hawaiian shirt today. Speakers in Hawaii always wear koa nut necklaces, so I wore mine today. And I want to talk a bit about the feast today, specifically the feast that we had. Debbie and I spent a few days on Oahu in Honolulu on Waikiki Beach. And if you take the Aloha Mana Road down to Vineyard, go up Vineyard over the H1 main highway through Hawaii, you go up to the North Shore on Vineyard, you'll pass three different consulates. Now, most of the homes up that road are multi-million-dollar mansions. Huge, huge pieces of property, all landscaped just like Ambassador College used to be, and just gorgeous, gorgeous homes. But three of them are consulates. And I've always wondered, what in the world's going on in there? There's three consulates. There's a consulate of Japan, there's a consulate of Micronesia, and there's a consulate of Korea. And I've always wondered, because we've been there now six times. We always go up to the North Shore. And I've always wondered, what in the world is going on in those buildings? Today, that's what I want to talk about. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. It's a subject that, of course, you'll know immediately when I say the name that we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray for you in God, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Today I want to talk about ambassadors, because I found out what goes on inside those buildings. We know the term ambassadors from back when Mr. Armstrong started the college, Ambassador College. And there's a lot of individual properties of an ambassador that I'll walk through, 10 different points of an ambassador that I'll walk through today to show you why he would call his college Ambassador College and why we are, in fact, just as the scripture that I just read, ambassadors for Christ. The first thing about an ambassador is the fact that he is chosen. He is not elected. Now, in our country, President Bush will choose someone, and he has to go through a vetting process. They're not going to let just anybody represent our nation. He has to go through a vetting process, just like our Supreme Court judges. He has to go in front of Congress, has to answer a few questions. They have to investigate his past, and they have to approve of President Bush's choice to be an ambassador. Well, over in John 6, in verse 44, we see how that applies to us. John 6 and 44, scripture we all know. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. We too are not elected. We don't choose to be an ambassador for Christ. We are chosen. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. God himself, Jesus Christ's Father, makes that choice for us to represent him on the earth. So just like a real ambassador, they're chosen and not elected. The second thing that an ambassador is he represents his country. He represents his country. And I want to read a little exchange that happened last Thursday. Now, this is real goings and coming between countries using an ambassador. And in this case, Ambassador Schieffer, which is the United States ambassador to Japan, has written this letter to the Japanese. This is real business that happened on Thursday, November 10th, 2005. Ambassador J. Thomas Schieffer met with Ryoichi Kayaba, mayor of Yokosuka, on Thursday afternoon, November 10th, at the American Embassy. Now, this is the American Embassy in Washington, D.C., where they had this meeting. Mayor Kayaba requests that the United States Navy reconsider its recent decision to replace the United States ship Kitty Hawk with a nuclear-powered Nimitz-class aircraft carrier. The mayor presented a petition and explained the feelings of Yokosuka citizens. So that's what's at issue. The United States has a base in Yokosuka. We have a aircraft carrier, and this communication is that the Japanese don't want us to put a nuclear aircraft carrier in their backyard. And here's Ambassador Schieffer's three-point reply. The decision was reached only after careful consideration of Japanese views, including the views of Mayor Kayaba and former Mayor Sawada, with whom Ambassador Schieffer and Ambassador Jim Baker before him had met on several occasions. The Navy tried very hard to accommodate the request of the two mayors to replace Kitty Hawk with another conventional carrier, but after detailed study, concluded that neither the USS JFK or the USS Kitty Hawk were viable options to fulfill the critical high-tempo mission of the forward deployed naval forces aircraft carrier beyond 2008, and that a more capable Nimitz-class nuke-powered carrier was required to defend Japan and help maintain peace and stability in Asia. Moreover, the ambassador said the chief of naval operations told him that the Navy was moving to an entirely nuclear-powered carrier fleet. Obviously not good news being delivered from one ambassador to another country. Point two, the safety of American nuclear-powered vessels is impeccable. Nuclear-powered warships, including nuke-powered aircraft carriers, have made over 1,200 visits to Japan since 1964. Both the U.S. and Japanese governments have monitored these visits and taken water and soil samples. Data from these two safety verifications programs shows that there has never been a single incident of damage to human health or the environment. Moreover, the Navy has homeported nuke-powered warships in the United States ports since 1955. At present, five nuclear-powered carriers are homeported in Norfolk, Virginia, two in Seattle, and two in San Diego. So point two, again, he's delivering news that they don't particularly want to hear. Point three, the ambassador thanked Mayor Kayaba for the friendship and hospitality that Yokosuka has always displayed to the United States Navy, and he reiterated that the United States would continue to place the highest importance on safe operations and training. So here we see a real-world example of an ambassador representing the thoughts and wishes of his government to another government. And we see it in this case where there's some conflict between the two, that it isn't all rosy. That brings me to my third point. An ambassador is polished and knowledgeable. Remember, he has to go through this vetting process. Well, that's for a purpose. We don't want just anyone to represent our country. Likewise, Christ doesn't want just anyone to represent his church. That's why we're hand chosen. Let's look at an exchange in Acts 4 and go through that. And I think that you'll see why we're asked to do the things that we are, to study, to pray, to meditate, to do all those things that'll make us a stronger Christian. Acts 4 and verse 1, we'll read several verses down to 14. And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. So what we have is a couple disciples, and then we have the very top echelon of the church approach them. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So they've accosted these disciples with kind of a cease and desist. We don't like what you're doing. We're going to make you stop. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So they were very, very effective messengers of Christ's message to, in fact, 5,000 people. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest gathered together at Jerusalem. So they called in all the heavyweights. These are the top guns. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" So this is a donkey barbecue. They're going to grill them. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel." So he gives them their due. These are high up, mighty potentates. He gives them their due and says, "If we this day be examined of the good deeds done to impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole." So they lay it out, just like Ambassador Schieffer kind of laid it out to the Japanese that, look, a conventional carrier in your backyard is non-negotiable. We've got three very strong points here that government told me to communicate. Yard. And here you see Peter very forcefully telling them, without hesitation, "You crucified Christ. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head and the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So he makes it very plain. It's by Jesus Christ that we're saved, not by anything that the high priests or anyone else can do. It's by Jesus Christ that we're saved. This very important verse here, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, they that had been with Jesus." So we see these guys had every intent of kind of ganging up. You know, they had all the wise men with them. And who turned out to be wise in the end? Well, they presented arguments that these people could not deal with. So they were very polished and very knowledgeable. And they didn't get that way overnight. That's an important point about this particular verse. Just like us, you know, some of us were baptized fairly recently. Some of us were baptized a long, long time ago. And it's a process. Becoming polished and knowledgeable and an ambassador for this way of life takes time. It takes time. It takes time to understand the Bible to a greater degree. It takes time to be in prayer so that you're comfortable in your conversation with God every day. That doesn't happen automatically. It's kind of herky-jerky when you start. Point four. He knows the laws and rules of the government that he represents. He knows the laws and rules of the government he represents. Now, I studied specifically the Japanese ambassadorship. Ryozo Kato is the Japanese ambassador to the United States, and his title is Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary, Japan to the United States of America. So he has a very big title, but I want to show you a couple of things about that particular individual. He was born in 1941 in Saitama Prefecture, Japan. In 1964, he passed the Higher Diplomatic Service Examination. 65, he graduated from Tokyo University, Faculty of Law. Entered the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Japan that same year. 1981, he became the Director, Security Affairs Division, North American Affairs Bureau. 84, Director of the Treaties Division. 1987, Minister, Embassy of Japan in the United States. 1990, Director, General Affairs Division, Minister Secretariat. 92, Deputy Chancellor General, North American Affairs Bureau. 1994, Consul General of Japan in San Francisco. Director, General Asian Affairs Bureau. 1997, Director General Foreign Policy Bureau. 1999, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs. I mean, what a resume. What a resume this guy has. 2001, Ambassador to the United States of America. He didn't get it overnight. He had to study long and hard. But through all of those accomplishments, every one of those promotions, you can see all the different things that they were getting him prepared for. Treaties, general affairs, consul, Asian affairs, all these different things were training grounds for him to give him a big, wide background of knowledge in how Japan deals with the United States. Number five. He's a salesman for his country. I suspect that when you get around him, he's very positive about the country of Japan. I would expect nothing less. I bet he'll try to get you to go there. You know, hey, we got flights every day. We have a beautiful airline, JAL, that'll get you there. Beautiful cities, efficient transportation, wonderful people, exotic food. What kind of a salesman are we for the kingdom of God? We ought to be great salesmen today. We just got through celebrating a week and a half of what it's like. And we ought to be great salesmen for that way of life. A, I saved my second tithe. Two, I had a great, wonderful time. Met interesting people, ate great food. Stayed in exotic places. We did all these things. Just like an ambassador for his country. Point number six. An ambassador is in effect a soldier who follows orders. He doesn't have personal opinions. An ambassador represents what his country tells him to say. And that's kind of like us, isn't it? I mean, we have the Word of God. It's not really subject to personal interpretation. We of our own can't say, you know, there's this thing in the Bible that says that you're supposed to keep the Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, but, you know, that's okay. I personally think that if you do it just during the daylight portion of Saturday, that's okay. Just as an ambassador can't wing it and tell some other country what he thinks, they've given him very explicit instructions, and haven't we? Haven't we been given very explicit instructions? An ambassador follows orders. Point 7, an ambassador keeps close contact with his boss. Just for that same reason that he has to follow orders, he has to know what the boss says. Very top-down governmental chain of command. And why is that? Because without it, it would be utter confusion. If the consulate was saying one thing and the ambassador was saying something else and the prime minister of Japan said something else, who would know what is the position of Japan in regards to the United States? Nobody would know. So it's very, very structured communication. Let me give you an example. The ambassador resides in Washington, but he has 17 satellite offices throughout the United States. That one that I told you about is on Vineyard Drive in Hawaii. That particular consul is run by a fellow by the name of Masatoshi Muto. He is considered the general consul. He is the official representative of the government of Japan in the state of Hawaii and American Samoa. And his job is to supervise that consulate, that multi-million dollar home with its gorgeous property and all the people within it. That's his job to administrate that. He reports directly to the ambassador in Washington, D.C. That's his function, is to work for the ambassador in Washington, D.C. Inside that building that I always drive by, there is the consul general, who I just mentioned. There's a senior consul. He assists the consul general as his deputy. He advises and directs the consulate staff. There's a general affairs section within that building. They coordinate the operations of the consulate. There's a political affairs section. Monitors and researches the political situation in Hawaii and follows matters related to the political aspects of the United States-Japan and the United States-Hawaii relationship. There's an awful lot of exchange between Japan and Hawaii. A lot of Japanese-owned property in Hawaii. There's a lot of economic interest happen because there's a lot of trade. There's a lot of travel between Japan and Hawaii. All of that has to be administrated through this office. There's an economic affairs section, monitors and researches business developments in Hawaii, as well as economic relations between Japan and Hawaii. You know, they have to understand the economy of Hawaii. If inflation took off and runs rampant, like gasoline prices did when we were there, that would get communicated back to Japan because that's going to directly affect Japanese business in our country. And that consul communicates. There's a public information and cultural affairs section. Provides general information on Japan. Introduces Japanese culture to the people of Hawaii by implementing and assisting with various cultural events. Informs the media and the public of Japanese current affairs and the official policy of the Japanese government. Implements the selection process for the Japanese government scholarships and the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program, JET. So, right down to very, very low levels of individuals being exchanged between countries, like exchange students, they have to sign off and go through all of that. There's a consular section. Protects the interests of Japanese residents and tourists. Issues and renews Japanese passports. Issues entry visas to Japan-bound visitors. And performs some notary and civil registration services. Believe me, this place would get very important if you were in a foreign country. If I was a Japanese citizen in Hawaii and I had a car crash, this office would all of a sudden become very, very important because they could throw me in jail. They could throw me under the jail because I'm not an American citizen. But the Japanese consulate would then begin to deal with the American consulate to work out an equitable and fair resolution to that situation. It happens with passports, or I lost my passport. Those kinds of issues all get dealt with there. And then there's an administrative section. Administers bookkeeping and budgetary matters of the consulate. Manages documents and communications of the consulate. Where this country, the United States, would hang on every word they wrote. Because if there's conflict, just like I read that letter about the nuclear submarine, if there's the beginning of conflict, we differ in these opinions, you can bet they read every word. I wonder what they meant by that. So it's very, very critical. All this to say that all of these people have very, very close contact with their boss because it's the Prime Minister of Japan and the Japanese Diet, their Senate, that tells these consulates what to say and how to say it. Point eight, an ambassador never betrays his own country. He is always faithful to his own country. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. We all know what this one says. 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's the way an ambassador is. They have to, by definition, hold the course. I never will forget that piece of film where they show the two Japanese ambassadors sitting in the office of the President of the United States. Japan attacked Pearl Harbor December 7th, 1941. And without a declaration of war, a declaration of war would have been carried by the ambassador to the President of the United States, but they arrived late. The attack had already happened, and they came in after the fact. The President already knew that we had been attacked. And so here's these ambassadors and the consular standing there kind of with egg on their face, you know. Poor communication at that point in time, or a lack of being able to get an appointment in an appropriate time. But I never will forget, they were faithful to their country. They were faithful to their country. Their country had attacked us, but it was, think of yourself, put yourself in that job. When the Prime Minister of Japan calls you up and says, go tell the President that we're going to go to war. And there's examples in the Bible where God makes a calling and you just want to go the other way. Well, I guarantee that an ambassador would feel no different in that situation. But he never betrays his country and he is faithful to him. That's the way that we have to be. We have to be faithful to what we've been taught, no matter what, no matter what the consequences. Point nine, he carries the seal of his government. He carries the seal of his government. When you are an ambassador and you sign a letter, that is as if the Prime Minister himself signed it. You are the words of the government. And he carries that seal. Well, what seal do we carry? What signed and stamped us as members of the kingdom of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Baptism and the Holy Spirit. That's our seal. That's what we carry. That's our authority to speak what we speak. Point number 10. An ambassador may have to give his life for his government. Typically, before things get to that point, a government will recall their ambassadors, but not always. You can become the ambassador in some backwater country where, you know, crime absolutely runs rampant. You can have barbed wire, concertina wire, tall gates, and everything else built around that ambassador property, that consul property. That doesn't guarantee that you're not going to get killed in the service of your country. And sometimes it's because of what you say that draws the fire or what the country says. We've seen it just this week. You saw when President Bush was down in Argentina. Throwing Molotov cocktails and rocks and shooting guns and everything. Not because that ambassador down there is not liked. There's a contingent of individuals in that country that do not like the United States and do not like President George Bush and everything that he stands for. And it could end up costing that ambassador his life. We've seen that. We saw in Africa, one of the very first Al-Qaeda hits was on our consulates. We lost some ambassadors. So he may have to give his life for his government. And isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ did? When he stood there in front of Pilate and answered his questions, he gave his life for his government, the kingdom of God. I hope by going through this now you have a better understanding of ambassadorships and certainly the fact that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. I probably didn't have the same appreciation for the name Ambassador College and everything until you walk through and you study and you see exactly what an ambassador is responsible for. It's a very high position. It's a very high position. We should all be proud to call ourselves, and we should all be ready and willing and forceful to those who would ask, what country are we an ambassador for?